you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your power, Lord God. We recognize that it was your power that brought us here today. It is your power that kept us through the week. It is your power that protected us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for your power, Lord God. And Father, kind sir, if we could ask you for one more thing, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain, Lord. We pray for your power to fall on us today, Lord God. Oh, Father, all through this house of God, Lord God, and not just through this house of God, but all the houses of God throughout the United States of America. Lord God, and throughout the world, everyone that would say that Jesus is Lord, let your power fall in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the power of God, we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm getting so energized on this lesson, man. I'm telling you, it is taking me to a whole new level in the things of God and what we pray for and how we pray and how we believe. I tell you, I'm just, you know, the Word of God has such a power to it. And as you study the Word of God, it changes you. It takes that, it casts out fear. It's like, it's this power. There is power, you know, in the name of Jesus. There is power in the Word of God. And I want you to, I can't say it enough. And I hope you guys are getting it. I hope you are digesting that you have got to study his word. You got to pray so you have this power operating in your life. And you have to recognize it. Acknowledge it. You know, as we talked about in the last weeks, we just finished up knowing this name. And we talked about those areas where Jesus was, is the power within us. We talked about Jesus was our miracle. That it took a miracle to save you. It took a miracle just to save you. It took the power of God. And Jesus was that miracle working power in you that saved you. And then Jesus was our mastery. We talked about you don't master over the power of God, but you learn the mastery of the power of God. And Jesus, not only does he's your miracle and saves you, then he teaches you the mastery of the power of God. And then we talked about how Jesus is our might. He is our power. He goes before us in situations. If you would just pray, he would go before you in all those situations that you feel so much anxiety about and you're worried about. I dare you to pray and watch his might go before you in the situation and change the whole setting. By the time you get there, it is done because his might has gone before you and taken care of the situation. I've seen it happen over and over again. And then finally, we talked about how he is our magnificence. How God is such a magnificent. People will look at you. They will see the majesty of God on you. You'll walk in and you change the whole atmosphere of the room because of the majesty of God. And this is all encompassed in his power. When we're talking about Jesus being the power of God, we just broke it down into those four segments. And I just want you to go back and just study it again. Lord, show me. You've shown me the miracle, Lord, because I remember what I was 5 years ago and 10 years ago. And you keep showing me the mastery, Lord, because I know I'm changing and I'm walking in a different way. That takes power to change you. So you don't have that taste and those appetites and those habits you used to have. That took power to do that. Ask the people that go into rehab and all these other things that they have to go through. And, you know, and now I'm not knocking that. I think that's a good thing, but it takes power to do those kind of things. So we want to walk in the power of God. We want to recognize it. So that knowing your name, that knowing that name, the power of God is so essential to your, as you go forward in Jesus Christ, it's so essential that you recognize and acknowledge. Because sometimes we ignore it. We act like it doesn't exist and therefore it sits stagnant. Even though it's there and it's operating, it sits stagnant. But start paying attention. Paying attention to the wonder working power of God in your life. And as you start tapping into it, you'll know how to help it to grow and grow. And before long, man, you will be laying hands. I mean, like the apostles, they just walked by, the disciples just walked by and their shadow fell on people and they were healed. It can happen. I'm telling you, it can happen. So we want to tap into the power of God. Now today we are going into living this name. This is a segment on living this name. If you need a handout, there's extra handouts over there on the counter. At least there were a few minutes ago. So we're going to talk about living this name And our key scripture is from Philippians 4:13. This is the Amplified, and it says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Now, you know, I just want to scream right there. I mean, my goodness, are you, I mean, just to sit and break this apart. Do you understand what this is saying? This is the word of God. This is not Karen's word, because Karen's word, it might be, you know, she may or may not come through for you, but this is the word of God. And this is what he says. He will empower you. He will strengthen you to fulfill his purpose. His purpose. His purpose. Now, that's a part of the mastery of the power of God, because you need to be fulfilling his purpose. And boy, when you tap into the purposes of God, I'm telling you, you don't even want to go back to your own agenda. I found that. I didn't even want to go back to my old raggedy agenda that I had when I found out how to tap into the purposes of God. And God is always about people. I love that about him. He is always about people, saving them, building them up, strengthening them, taking care of them, protecting them. I mean, he is always about people. Boy, and when you tap into that agenda, oh man, the purpose of God, oh my goodness, his power will come out of you like you wouldn't believe. That's a part of the mastery of the power of God. So our first point says to recognize that Christ is not only our miracle, but our mastery, our might, and magnificence gives us great encouragement as we face the uncertainties that lie before us in the hours ahead. And this is from our book. Now remember, we're talking about living. So let's talk about living in the power of God. As children of God, we go forward into the day ahead, and we must know how to stand in his power and his wisdom. And again, I repeat the question that I've said so many times. How shall you escape if you neglect, if you ignore so great a salvation? This scripture is not written to unbelievers. It's written to believers. Because unbelievers do not have a salvation to neglect. It's written to believers. So the scriptures ask that question. How shall you escape if you neglect, if you don't pray? You don't read your word. How in the world are you going to escape? And the answer to the question, you won't escape. Because your adversary, the devil, he roams around. He roams around just looking like a roaring lion, seeking, watching, pushing your buttons, seeking someone to devour. You've been warned. You can't even say you didn't know, because you've been warned. So how should you escape? So our first point is we look under living this name. First, wherever we go, whatever we do, we have the capacity to be a channel for Christ's miracle power. That's from our book. If we are sensitive in our spirits to his Holy Spirit will whisper our assignments for the day, moment by moment, and we can see lives change. We will see miracles right before our eyes. And often I find that God will start with your own family. He starts in your household. I'm telling you, many times he'll start right in your own household. Where he, you know, I know you've been dealing with this for a long time. I know it's been going, but I dare you to just start going into prayer. Sometimes you don't even say anything. God has told me, just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Just pray. Just go into prayer and watch my power work. Because we think, okay, I prayed, but now let me say my little speech. No. The Holy Spirit is telling me, leave your speech alone, Karen, for goodness sake. I'm trying to work here. And you keep getting in the way with your speeches. So, just watch him work. Just press in to the power. He'll give you your assignment. The assignments of the Holy Spirit each day may be great, or they may be small. They may be small. Just buy Patty a cup of coffee. You know, let someone else go ahead of you. You know, give the guy on the corner $5, be led of the Spirit, but you know, when the Holy Spirit is just whispering, you know, and as you get tuned into the Holy Spirit, you'll hear him clearer and clearer. You know, and some people say, well, what if I miss God? What if that's not him? God, Jesus can find you. If you're going down the wrong path, he can find you. He'll find you. Listen, wait a minute. Daughter, he'll catch you. He has caught me so many times. I was going like a locomotive, and he'll catch me. Wait a minute now. You're supposed to be going over here, not over there. But you know what I know he loves and he honors is that you did it. You stepped out in faith. Living this name. That's what we're talking about today. Living this name. So we're going to get into what it is to step out in faith. The power of God is manifested in obedience. If you want to experience the power of God, you must learn how to act in faith and not in fear. The scripture says, but my righteous ones will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Boy, that scripture used to haunt me all the time. Boy, faith and not shrinking back, because so many times I felt like I was shrinking back. I was shrinking back because of fear. What if? I was just like Moses, and I was, you know, at the burning bush, and he was asking God, what if? And we do the same thing. And fear is common to planet Earth, guys. Okay, so let's bring this in perspective, okay? Fear is common to planet Earth. Okay, and there are several types of fears that we have on planet Earth. And one type of fear is the healthy fear, a fear that comes to preserve life and keep us safe. Okay, that's a healthy fear. Okay, you should be have a certain type of fear so you don't do dangerous things. Like you're not speeding down the highway at 90 miles an hour. You should have a fear about doing that. Going too close to the edge of a cliff. Yeah, you should be, you know, something will hit you and say, that's a healthy, safe, you know, that God built into us so that to preserve our lives. Otherwise, a lot of us would be missing from the planet. And then there's a fear of God. Okay, the reverence, the awe, the respect of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, we should have a fear. The fear of the Lord, the scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom. That you have respect for him, that you are in awe of him. You know, it's a reverential fear, you know, that you respect him and that you watch out for him and that you follow his law. Again, a positive fear that keeps you safe and keeps you healthy. And then there is the fear that comes from Satan and demons to keep us from overcoming and reaching our destinies in God. This is the fear that fights faith. There's a fear that fights faith. You know God told you to do it. You're stepping out in it. And here comes the enemy. I'm telling you, he's coming. I'm telling you right now, he's coming to whisper fear in your heart. And all of us have experienced that and still do experience it. It's a fear that fights your faith. But you can overcome this is the spirit of fear that lies against the word of God to tell you that you cannot do it. This fear lies against the word of God. The word of God says, I can do all things through Christ. And the spirit of fear is going to tell you, no, you can't. I know you think God told you, but you don't you go over there. Did you read what happened in the paper of the other people that went over there? Don't you talk to her. You see how she told off that last person. You're going to be embarrassed. Don't you? And the list is continuous. Little things. And sometimes God will start you with the little stuff. Just to see if you can pass the first grade to go to the second grade. Third grade. But the spirit of fear. And we know the scripture so well that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. I love that verse, but of power, what we're talking about, and love and a sound mind. And if you just take that scripture apart, you talk about the power of God that we're talking about. That's your, that power that infuses your faith. Like, I'm going to do it. Sometimes, do it afraid. Is just, I love that. I love that thing that she taught about do it afraid. Boy, that thing helped me out so much because I'm shaking in my boots. I said, but I'm going to do it, Jesus. I'm going to do it. And I tell you, every single time he met me there. Yes. He met me there. You know, I worried about, okay, I don't know if I'm missing you, but I'm going to do it. And he honored the fact that I know you're, I see your heart, but I see what you're doing. You do what you believe. You do what you believe. That's faith. Don't worry about your feelings. Your feelings can be all over the place, man. Human feelings, oh my goodness. You got to be delivered from human feelings. Even your own feelings, the feelings of others and your own feelings. Happy today, sad tomorrow. You know, love someone today, hate them tomorrow. Human feelings. But faith. Faith is solid. Faith is determined. Faith looks at that goal that God said and it goes forward. And yeah, you're getting slapped and punched along the way, but faith will make it to its goal. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. So you rebuke the spirit of fear and you stand in faith in the name of Jesus. So first, we want to look at that. We have to walk in obedience. So that obedience piece, dealing with fear. And I brought this book. Some of you had already came up to see it. This book by Creflo Dollar wrote a whole, does a teaching series. There's a teaching series on YouTube and his book, Overcoming Fear, simply called Overcoming Fear. I can't say that I finished it, but boy, a lot of good information on here. I'm just overcoming fear. I'll pass it around by Creflo Dollar, you know. Again, I'm so glad we have teaching and we have Sunday school because the body of Christ needs to be taught. The body of Christ needs to grow up, you know, and that's why we have teaching. And that's why we sit and we talk and we tear open the Word of God and break it apart so we can grow thereby, so we can digest it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you, you know, when you sit a child down at a meal, sometimes you got to break that food up. So they can take it bit by bit. And that's the way Sunday school and teaching is all about. Okay. So we have to be, first we have to be a channel for Christ's miracle power. And that takes obedience. We talked about that. Secondly, we can take the mastery of Jesus' name into those situations where Satan seeks to diminish our authority. We are in control of the day because Christ is in control and he dwells within us. To take his mastery with us into the day, we must be prayed up. We must be prayed up. Okay, because the devil knows when you're not. We must recognize and concede to his power leading us. You must lay down your pride and your agenda and your will to Christ daily. Wow. Take the time to pay attention to your mindset and your attitude each day and then make it obedient to Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a big deal. You've got to make yourself, because I'm telling you, we can grow up, we can wake up with all kind of attitudes. You know, the enemy will plant a thought of something that happened yesterday, last week, last year, 10 years ago. And plant that thought, and boy, if you don't take captive that thought and make it obedient to Christ, look, you got to say, devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That is under forgiveness, and we will not talk about it, and we will not think about it. Because sometimes, even if there's no one else in the room, we're talking about it. And I remember, ladies, you know what I'm talking about, okay? I don't know about the brothers, but I'm telling you, we ladies, man, we can have a conversation all by ourselves, okay? And be ready for you when you come home, okay? And we got to take captive. We've got to take captive those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. This is an active process. This is not passive. You can't just, oh, just get away from me, devil. Leave me, devil. I say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and we cast that down because we forgive. That is forgiven. That's cast out of here in the name of Jesus. Speak scripture over that thought that would try to take you captive. This is how you master the power of God, because you can't work in the power of God in that attitude. Power of God can't function in that. The power of God is pure and it's holy. And it's not going to function in your bad attitude. So I'm telling you, you want to learn the mastery of the power of God, you have got to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That is part of the mastery of it. And I know it's work, because I know he comes with thoughts all the time. And don't take possession of those thoughts, because the enemy wants you to think that those are your thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. Those are his thoughts. Bringing stuff up that's been long past and long forgiven. That's the enemy. That's why, you know, I always ask Jesus, how is heaven going to be good with us? With us there? How in the world is heaven going to be good? But I don't think, what I hear from him is that you don't even understand how plagued you are right now by the enemy. And how free you will be in heaven. How free. Your thoughts are going to be free. You're not going to be getting all that stuff. We don't even realize, because we were born in sin, we don't even realize what it is like to live without those thoughts that come to our head. Those thoughts that came to us since we were little children. Take Bobby's cookie.
Go pull his hair.
Pull Sally's hair. Since we were babies. Oh my goodness. So isn't it going to be wonderful? But right now he's telling us, I've given you the power of God so you can take captive those thoughts and make them obedient. You don't have to succumb to those. You can let that thing go. You can forgive. Boy, it's one of my favorite words in the English language is forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that I can forgive. That I don't have to hold things against people. You know, as I was growing up in Babylon taught me you need to hold a grudge and you need to make people pay a few days before you forgive them. Yep. Let them hurt a few days. Make them suffer by not speaking. Silent treatment. Oh, God, thank you for forgiveness. That I don't have to do that anymore. It's a lie. It's a lie. That unforgiveness piece, that's a lie from Satan. Don't forgive. You're shooting your own self in the foot. You're tearing down your own house, your own relationship. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. When you could have been in mastery of the power of God by operating in forgiveness. Actively, not passively, actively cast out negative thoughts and imaginations in the name of Christ, the power of God. We talked about switching those negative thoughts with the Word of God. Practice praying and praising without ceasing every moment. I'm telling you, every moment, that's why the Bible says, I've understood now why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. I used to think, how can you pray without? Yes, you can. Every free moment, you can go, you can just be in prayer. Your lips don't even have to be moving, and you can be praying or praising. Have a song ready. I ask the Holy Spirit, just give me a song that my spirit is constantly singing. Every day, Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's been doing that. Give me a song. If I'm just walking down the hall, I got to be, you know, got a song. You know, because that's all it takes. The enemy just needs that idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now, that's not in the Word of God, but I'm telling you, that's true. All he wants is your thoughts free. That's why you got to watch out for these folks that want to take you into these New Age stuff and free your mind. And be careful, because the enemy's ready to plant something in there. Keep your mind guarded. Scripture says, guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Keep your heart and your mind guarded. Keep a song. Praying is praise, and praise is praying. So when you're doing praise and worship in your mind, you're praying, because these songs are to the Lord. Don't let your mind wander, but practice discipline in your thought life. That's how you operate in the power of God. You got to practice discipline in your thought life. You know, practice it. As soon as you see those negative thoughts coming up against, and it's usually against another person, because as I said, Jesus is about people, and so is Satan. Satan is about people too. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to cause you strife with anybody he can cause strife with. You know, and folks, and you know, I was ministering somebody this week. I said, you know, even if the person doesn't forgive you, you're set free. God has told me to forgive people that I'm like, what? Did you not see what they did to me? But he told me, and I had to ask, you know, I just want you to know that I forgive you. Then this person had the audacity to say, well, I forgive you too. And oh man, my blood went to a bowl simmer. Forgive me? For what? You know? But again, you know, again, set free. You know? You may never reconcile with that person the way it was before, but you're set free because you've forgiven. Forgiveness, I know, is a process. Some people, it took me a good year or two to forgive, to really let it go. But God took me through that process. I love Jesus like that. He'll take you the process. Okay, I want you to first say it. Okay, step one, I said it. And then take captive those thoughts. Don't let those thoughts come back. And then thirdly, he'll ask you to do something for them. Oh my God. He will ask you to do something. That's like the final exam. Now I want you to go and do something for them. But I'll tell you, by the time you get to that point, I tell you, he has done such a work in your heart that it's easy. It's easy to do because there's power. There's power in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does a work, and that power has changed you. And it still amazes me, like, Lord, I don't feel the way I used to feel. What is that? The wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb. That's what that is. You know, that he changes us and makes us different. And we're a testimony to the world on top of everything else. We must recognize and prepare for the resistance of our enemies to the plan of God for the day. Okay, get ready for the enemy. Go into the day sober, careful, and vigilant, which is watchful. Again, this is from 1 Peter 5 and 8. The enemy tries to get a foothold into our lives to trip us up when we are careless or reckless with ourselves, with our salvation. We can be reckless and careless with our salvation, just raggedy with it. Don't take care of it as something precious. Do you know what it cost? Do you know what it cost? And we're so raggedy and reckless with it, sloppy with it. Don't take care of it. It's like we got it on some kind of leash and we just drag it down the street in the dirt, instead of holding it close, taking care of it. The precious blood of the Lamb was shed for this. And I want to take care of it. I want to be careful with myself. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with joking. I like to laugh too, but I'm careful. The Lord has taught me to be careful to be sober. Because when you're doing too much joking and too much jesting, that's when the enemy gets a foothold in your life. Because you're going to slip and say something or slip and do something. And all he needs is a little foothold. I put that picture in your handout. Just a little tiny foothold is all he needs to get into your life. So you want to be careful with your salvation. Too much joking, too little prayer, too little word study, just raggedy with your salvation. And the enemy gets a foothold into our lives. All Satan needs is a crack. That's all he needs, a little crack in your armor. And he's coming in. He's watching you. He's watching you, especially you Christians. He's watching you. Mm-hmm. We're watching. You have gifts in your life. Didn't you know that? You have gifts. We talked about that. You have gifts and you have callings in your life. They should be protected. He put those gifts and callings for his purposes. Don't be raggedy with your gifts and your callings. Protect them. Pray over them. Remember, every day you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. That's from Romans 8:36. You're counted. Do you understand what that means? Every day, as soon as you get up. Okay, I'm going to, this one. The enemy's just, okay, and just assigning his demons to you. You're counted every day as sheep to be slaughtered. Romans 8:36. This protection, the protection that you're going to get is going to come by the power of God. And if you turn in, if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 6 and 7 out of the Amplified, because this is another just caveat to this. The apostle was writing to Timothy, who was a young pastor, a young minister. And he said to him, "This is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination." This is 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Boy, there's so much in that scripture. And he's writing. Remember, he's writing to this young minister who may be having a moment of discouragement. And this is what he's writing to him. Fan into flames the gift of God. You know, that means you've got to get into prayer. That means you have to get into your word. If you're going to fan that gift, God has put a gift in every single one of his children. And he expects you to protect it. Fan it by his Holy Spirit. Fan it by his word. So that you would be empowered to go forward, because God has not given you the spirit of fear. I don't know if Timothy was fearful, but perhaps he was. I mean, remember, this is the early church. You know, it wasn't like there was churches already established. This was the early church, and I can imagine this pastor, this minister out there preaching and feeling the fear. Others have been killed. And the apostle writes this to him, "Fan into flames the gift of God within you." Remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Let me get to that. I'm going to answer that question, okay? I've got it. I'm going to answer it when we go to questions, Margaret. And it is similar, just to answer. Yeah. I'll get to that question, Margaret, when we get our take our break in just a minute. Thirdly, so we talked about first and second, first, the obedience piece, the mastery piece. And now third, we can face each of today's potential warfare situations, rejoicing in the recognition that the might of Christ, now we're talking about the might of Christ, goes before us in battle, and that's page 136. We must actively and deliberately put on Christ, the armor of God. Now this part is so important. The armor of God, as described in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, is who and what Christ is in us as we face the battle of the day. He is the armor. You need to get that. He is the armor. Christ is our truth. our righteousness, our peace, our faith, our belief, our salvation, our word of God, our prayer before God. And if you look at the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, these are all Christ in you. And the apostle wrote it as armor that you're putting on. You're putting on Christ. One of my good friends, she always tells me, you know, when you're putting on the armor of God, you're putting on Christ. And it's a good exercise to do every morning. Lord, I put on truth. Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation. I will protect it and keep safe who I am in Christ. That salvation piece, that makes me the child of God. I will put on my breastplate of righteousness. Be careful with myself. I will put on the shoes of peace. I'm pursuing peace today. The enemy may come at me with all kinds of stuff trying to get me angry and upset, but Lord, I put on the shoes of peace and I will pursue peace today. Lord, I'll put on that belt of truth, Lord. I know the enemy tempts us every day to lie, not to tell the truth, but to lie. Lord, I put on the belt of truth that I'm going to speak the truth today. Speak the truth in love. Let me just add that piece, okay? Speak the truth in love, children of the living God. And then we have the scripture here. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Man, if you cannot get from this scripture that you are in a battle, I don't know what else can be said to you. You're in a battle for your soul. Do you understand? You're in a battle for your eternal soul. And that's why the apostle wrote these words, praying always, supplication. It's another supplication of the Spirit. Learn how to supplicate. Lord, just talking about them. Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I magnify your name. When you're in your car by yourself, just supplicate. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for the day, Lord. I thank you for the sky. I just, you know, whatever I see, I thank you for. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. I see somebody, an accident. Lord, I just pray over the accident right now. Lord, I pray over the people in the accident. Lord, I just thank you. Father, help that driver up front, Lord, in front of me, Lord God. Help them. You know, I see some road rage kind of starting there. Lord God, intervene in the name of Jesus as you drive. Supplicate. 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 And watch the power of God just come out of you like you never saw before. Supplicate before him. Put on that whole armor. I tell you, just, I mean, it will change you as you put on this armor. When you put on the armor, you're putting on Christ. You're putting on Christ. Fourth, and this is my favorite part of the lesson, guys, believe it or not, because we're going to talk about joy. Fourth, we have the joy of living this day saturated in Christ's magnificence. Oh, my goodness. This is from our book, too. And the next point says, all of these things add up to joy. The word proclaims the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is Nehemiah 8:10. There is power in joy. Let me say that again. There is power in joy. Joy supersedes happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is based on God and his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you tap into this one, I'm telling you, it will, I keep saying that, but it will. It will change you. It will change you. The scripture says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. This is from Galatians 5. Joy gives us the drive for the day. When the power of God is operating in your life, there is no place for depression. When the power of God is operating, the joy, it's like an amenity of the power. You know how you do things and you move into a new house or new housing apartment. Let's go to an apartment. And they have all these amenities. You know, there's a pool downstairs and an indoor pool and there's this and there's that. And, you know, there's an exercise room and there's this. I'm telling you, you tap into the power of God and all these amenities come along with it that you didn't even expect. Thank you, Lord, for that little gift. I didn't know. I'm so different. I feel better. Oh, my God, I like people. Oh, my God. Who knew that was coming?
No, y'all didn't know. Y'all don't know how I was, man.
Thank you for saving me, Jesus. I'm telling you. But the joy comes with it. To better understand the power of joy, let us look at its opposite, depression. Just as joy empowers the soul and the body, depression drains the soul and the body. It does. It drains it. No energy. Don't feel like doing anything. No excitement. And it's a physical feeling. Folks, this is not necessarily a spiritual thing. You feel it physically and spiritually. Depression weakens you, and cross out that word both, because we have three things here. Depression weakens you physically, emotionally, and mentally. Your ability to fight is impaired in depression. You don't feel like fighting. When your person gives up the fight, boy, that spirit is setting in. Medical studies have shown that people who are depressed become more sick more often and have more complications following medical procedures. Their immune system, the system that fights disease, becomes less effective, and they succumb to infections more readily. A medical fact. The body responds to this feeling. The body responds. When patients go through bypass surgery, it's major. You know, it's major because you're dealing with the heart. I'm having heart surgery. They're going to have to take vessels and just, you know, usually it happens after they've had a heart attack. And you can't do what you used to do. And so after the bypass surgery, surgeons automatically give patients an antidepressant. They give it to it automatically because they know it's coming. They know it's coming because of this feeling that I can't do what I used to do. This depression just sets in, you know, so they give it. And granted, antidepressants do help. I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not telling you to get off them. I'm just saying that there is something that comes along with it. There is a spiritual implication that comes along with it. The body, remember we talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit is right in the center. And then the spirit, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and then the body. And they're all connected. You can't break one away from the other. They're all connected. So you just want to get an idea of what joy can do. It's the very opposite of what we're talking about, is joy. Happiness, again, is based on circumstances. It's based on situations, but joy, hallelujah, for the gifts of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and we long-suffering, I mean gentleness, all these things that come with the Holy Spirit, the power of God coming through the Holy Spirit brings with it these things that you weren't even expecting, the long-suffering peace. The joy. Some people, and I don't want to get ahead of my lesson on the joy because I was really enjoying doing this. Let me read this, the next segment. We're going to get to it. Okay. Spiritually, when you are depressed, you are more vulnerable and agreeable to the temptations of Satan. This is why Satan the liar whispers negative thoughts into your ear so that you will relinquish the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And then he can take advantage of your weakened state. See, the scripture says we are not ignorant of his devices. This is one of his devices. That's why he's whispering all that negative stuff in your ear about people and about situations and about things that is going on, because it weakens you. Because if you relinquish your joy, if you don't take captive that thought, but you let him come in and then you start repeating what he's saying and you relinquish your joy, he knows he's got you in a weakened state, and that's when he's going to attack you. People display all kinds of negative behaviors when they are depressed. They are reckless. They have affairs. They engage in drug and alcohol abuse, as the overcoming power of joy is lost in their lives. I'm talking about Christians, folks. I'm talking about believers. Had the joy, but didn't take captive that thought, and then another thought came, and another thought came, and before you know it, you're reckless with your salvation and with your life. It happens. And all it takes is pressing into God to regain your joy, because joy is a side effect of his presence. Let me say that again. Joy is a side effect of his presence. And as his presence grow in you, you will get the joy of the Lord. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what has happened. You can get the joy of the Lord. I know what I'm talking about, folks. I know what I'm talking about. As I said, I'm not telling you this because I read it in a book. I'm telling you because I had to live it. Lost everything. Stuff all up in the paper, newspaper. Everybody knows my business. But the joy of the Lord was my strength. Got me up out of bed in the morning. Sent me on my way. And he renewed my strength. Restore your strength. It says renew your strength like the eagle. I think I told y'all that story about the eagle. That's why I love that's my favorite bird, if you haven't guessed. That he, after he's been flying for so long, his wings get all soiled with dirt and soot and all kind of stuff. He can't fly anymore. His wings are just too heavy. So he goes and he gets himself in the cleft of the rock. And that eagle, I'm telling you, he takes his claws and he pulls out all his feathers that are so soiled. And he pulls out, I mean, all his feathers, and lies out in the sun naked. I mean, just everything gone. You never see it because they're way up in the cleft of the rock. You won't see it. And they lay out in the sun. And the sun dries them out and their feathers start to grow back. Brand new feathers start to grow, and they lay out there until the feathers grow back, and then they take flight again. I'm telling you, what a story of what God does for us. I'm telling you, I've been there, man. Wings too heavy. I can't even fly anymore. I'm just done. I mean, sitting home, I can't even go to church. I'm just done. And then just by an act of faith, just coming on in, I'm going to sit way up in the rafters. I don't want anybody to know, with some shades on and a hat. And just, I just want to hear something from Jesus. And I dare not go to the front. Oh, no, I can't answer the altar call. No. But I'll tell you, God will meet you where you are, because he met me. I'm telling you, like that old eagle laying out in the sun, my feathers grew back, folks. Your feathers will grow back. Just take them before the sun, honey. I'm just like, Lord, take it before the sun. Okay. The sun, S-O-N. Yeah, just take it before the sun. Just lay out before him, naked. Everybody knows your stuff anyway, so just nothing to hide. Yeah, I came before the sun, man. Shoot, took off those sunglasses and hat and came on down to the front in front of the sun, honey, so I can get some work, grow my wings back. And he was faithful. He was faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised. He will restore your joy. As the psalmist said, he restores my joy. Joy helps your eyesight so you can see God better and the cunning plans of the enemy better with joy. You can see better. You can see the enemy better when you have joy. And this translates into the power this translates into power in your life, when you can see things with clarity. Because people that don't have the power of God, they can't see things clear. That's why they be doing all this crazy stuff. I'm like, I can see where that's going to lead. I don't know why you can't see it. Because the power, need the power of God in their lives. You can see his beauty in the day, in people, and in nature. You're more thankful and grateful with joy. You are motivated to carry out acts of love and kindness to others and more forgiving when you have joy. That's the power of joy. Thus pouring the power of joy into the world. See, when you can forgive others and do acts of love and kindness toward others, don't you know you're pouring the power of joy into the world? And boy, doesn't our world need it. Oh, we need it so badly. When you see God's sun rises and sunsets, you see him and his love for you, and your heart is filled with joy. I couldn't believe how he changed me. I mean, I look at a sunrise and I tear up. I look at the evening sky and I tear up. I'm like, Lord, you did that just for us. I mean, the sky could be gray all the time, but you color the sky for us. And I tear up because of the joy I feel for him. This is his power in you. The power of joy makes you feel like doing it. It makes you want to do it. And it drives you as you are doing it. You get that? I need to say that again. The power of joy makes you feel like doing it. It makes you want to do it. And it drives you as you're doing it. Hallelujah. Here comes the heart. The joy, the power of joy makes you feel like doing it, makes you want to do it, and drives you as you do it. That's the beauty of the joy. Press into them. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will hit you with joy, and you're like, wow, I feel like doing it today. Maintaining your joy, the next point, maintaining your joy is not passive. Joy is a power from the Holy Spirit that must be maintained deliberately in this world where Satan and his demons are constantly attacking humanity. Joy sometimes is so hard to find and so hard to see in this world where there's so much darkness and there's so much stuff. But I'll tell you, through the prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, your joy can be maintained. But it's not passive. It has to be maintained deliberately. The fuel for joy is praise and worship to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Did we not know that? See, praise and worship fuels joy. That's why you can't just be praising and worship in church. Praise and worship wherever you are. Praise and worship in the shower. Praise and worship on the way to work. Praise and worship while you're getting dressed. Just praise and worship him. And watch the joy of the Lord just consume you. The psalmist declared, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Praise and worship makes the difference. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Don't you know when you start praising and worship, you know God is right there. He inhabits it. He is in there with you when you start praising and worshiping. Joy, we're almost done with it. Joy wants to infect others. It's addictive. It is. People who have joy, have the joy of the Lord, do not release it easily. They will seek to get things right before God and others so that they can hold on to their joy. Because it's addicting. When you get a taste of the joy, as David said, go taste and see the Lord is good. And then something happens. You know, you get a little issue with something. They seek to get it right, honey. Because I don't want anything messing with my joy. I'm addicted to it now. I love it. So I don't need something going on in my heart that is pulling me away from the joy of the Lord. So joy can be addicting, and you find people with joy, man, they're wanting to get it right fast. God can trust them with the truths of situations because they will pray rather than condemn. They will encourage rather than berate others. They will unify rather than scatter. This is the manifestation of the power of joy. And I want you to get this. When you have the power of joy in your life, you hate to see disunity. You don't want to see division. You know, it bothers you. You're like, oh boy, how can I bring this together? They will go into prayer. They're not going to go and gossip and blah, 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 blah. They'll go into prayer so that they can, oh Lord, I want that person's joy restored. I don't like to see them sad. So I will go into prayer. They're not going to berate others. They're not going to be tearing down. They're going to be building up because of the joy. They want the joy and they want others to have the joy. You know, it is addictive. You know, I mean, just using that example of how people do drugs and they want other people to get on the drugs with them. Oh yeah, take a hit. They're ready to give it to you. Well, you can change that and just switch it over to joy. People that have joy, man, they don't like to see people sad. They like, you know, hey, can we pray? Let's pray together. You know, let's do something. Let's, you know. Because it's addictive, and they want others to have this joy. They unify rather than scatter. You know, they don't want to divide. They want to bring together. They want people to love. Boy, that's the power of joy, is that the power of joy unifies. People with joy, you know, they can just walk into a room, and I mean, they bring a presence with them, a power. You know the people I'm talking about. I know some people that just got the gift of joy. Never have a bad day. Never. I used to think that when I first came to Praise Assembly and I saw Pastor Jim. I was like, he is always smiling. I'm like, do you ever have a bad day? Just never have a bad day. He is always just smiling. At the time he was in the children's church here, you know, he was in the children's church and just around all those children and just smiling. Now he does the same thing to the seniors. Some people have what I call the gift of joy. And Pastor Jim's one of those people, just the gift of joy. I know a few people that just got the gift of joy. Just always happy. You know, you're one of them, Cheryl. You sure? Cheryl's like that. Just always happy. Like, just never have a bad day. You know, just that joy. And it's contagious. It's contagious. Because that person with that gift of joy, you're not going to bring them down. You know, they're going to bring you up. You know, and that's what it does. That's the power of it. The power of joy. Now, joy is not silliness, but a strong, peaceful inner power that testifies to you and the world that God has everything. Therefore, everything will be all right. I love that. When you have, you know God has everything, so everything's going to be all right. So why in the world should I be sad? And the song goes, this is my Father's world. Why should I be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. I love that song. This is my Father's world. So I tell you, joy has purpose, you know. And people with joy, they know a lot of stuff. Don't think they don't know anything. They're happy because they don't know what's going on. Oh, yes, they do. They know more than you do because God can trust them with information. Because they're going to pray. And they're going to bring unity and joy to the situation. So, again, this power of joy is such a beautiful thing, and it's a powerful thing, and it has purpose with things. That's compared to people that, you know, when we think about, you know, happiness in the world and joy in the world. When I was doing this lesson, I was thinking about people that get high. I don't know if you've ever been around people that are high, but I've been around people that are high, you know, and they just laugh at everything. Just laughing at everything. Laughing at, oh, the cup is silver. Ha ha. Laughing at all kind of craziness. The purse is black. You're just laughing. Purposeless. purposeless. Joy is different. Joy has purpose. Joy has purpose. If you want a comparison, compare it to someone that's high and they're always laughing, but there's no purpose in it. It doesn't even make sense to anybody. But joy has purpose. Joy is going and doing. You know, joy will throw its arms around you with purpose. I just thought you needed a hug today. Terry's another one with the joy gift. You know, just gonna hug you today. You just look like you need a hug. Just that gift of joy, it has purpose in it, you know. And we were playing this song, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Joy can break chains, folks. Joy can break chains. And we'll end with our scripture from Psalm 21:1. It says, the king shall have joy in your strength. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly he shall rejoice. David is talking about the king shall have joy himself. He's talking about David shall have joy. You can put your name in there where it says the king. Karen shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and your salvation. How greatly shall she rejoice. So stick your name in there and speak that scripture over your life. Any comments? Margaret was asking about Jeremiah 29:11 that says, it says, I know
the plans I have
path for you, saith the Lord.
Isn't that similar to what you were reading? You were reading 2 Timothy?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because we went to Pastor Bobby, got us hooked up with going to a Christian camp, and we went for a while until Tony didn't want to go anymore. But the children's pastor, when they did it, they really stuck out Jeremiah 29:11, joy. You know, the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, give you hope in the future, not
yes,
to harm you.
Yes.
And I know it's worded differently than this one, but I think it kind of means the same thing.
Yeah,
it?
It's tied in together. Yeah. You know, that fan, the gift of God within you. I know the plans. In fact, I've never tied them in, but yet you're absolutely right. They tie in together. That fan, the gifts of God within you, and I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord.
Plans
to prosper you,
to
give you a hope and a future. Amen. That's a good word. Yeah. Yeah, they do tie in together. She was saying, you guys heard that scripture in Timothy ties into Jeremiah 29:11.
It's been a long time since we went to camp, so see, I do get.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, you do. Anybody else before we dismiss? Anybody else have a comment? Yes. Okay, I'm trying to borrow one of these on the right.
Down or you're losing your joy or whatever, go out and do something for somebody else. Get your mind and your heart off of self and do something for somebody else. Go visit somebody. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Everybody is going through hard times in one way or the other. So we have to forget about ourselves and go on with whatever strength and joy God has given us. And I just think that we have to do, and it's a growing process. And every one of us are going through different things in our life, even today. But we have to keep in mind that God is in control of it. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
So I just thank the Lord. That was taught to me very young by Sister Elsie. Joy, Jesus first, others for the old, and yourself for the why.
Wow.
And I always kept that. She had that in her front room on a potholder, and I always remember that.
Wow.
And it stood with me. She's gone with the Lord, but boy, did she need some good teaching for this little girl.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Boy, and I tell you, it does lift you up. You know, and that is a secret to the power of joy. Get up and do something for someone else and watch. Sometimes the power of joy doesn't hit me until I'm doing it. Uh-huh. And then the joy of the Lord comes and it lifts my spirit. And that's something to recognize, that's the power of joy that's coming into you when you start doing something for someone else and you start to feel that heaviness lift.
Uh-huh.
Wow, power. power changing you, the power of joy. Anybody else?
You probably going to think, what does that have to do with joy? But last Monday, I dropped my phone in the toilet.
It happened.
That was the second one. And I was, I'm sorry. That was the second one. And I was so upset because I couldn't afford to go get another phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only phone I have. So my grandson says, you're supposed to put it in rice. So I put it in rice and I would try it every day and it didn't work. And then the fourth day I said, oh Lord, you know, you got to do something for me. I can't afford another phone and I need a phone in the house. So I took it out and it was dry and I told my grandson, I says, the phone is dry. He says, well, let's try it. And it started working. And the joy that came over me was unreal. I was dancing and holding my phone and screaming and thanking the Lord. And my grandson says, Nana, it's just a telephone. I says, but when you don't have one, you learn how to appreciate it.
Yes.
But the joy that came over me, it's like Christmas. It was like a gift from heaven. I can't even explain what I felt.
Amen. And it's true joy. See, and it's important to acknowledge God.
Yes, and I was
acknowledge Him. I'm telling you, because one thing I've learned about God, He loves to show off. He loves to show off.
Yes,
I'm telling you. So when you acknowledge Him and say, hey, God, thank you. He's like, okay, what else can I do for her? What else can I do for Rose? I'm telling you, it's true. You know, He loves to show off, man. I'm telling you. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. We thank you for the power of God that you have given us, Lord God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us and moving in us and giving us the opportunity, Lord God, to be more and more like you, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would not neglect or ignore this great salvation that your blood has purchased for us, Lord God. That we would tap into it, Lord God. We would tap into your power. That we would learn of the miracle that you did in us. We would learn the mastery of it, Lord God. We would learn the magnificence of it, Lord God. And we would learn the might of it, Lord God. And that we would walk in these things in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we would change this world. As we walk in these things, that we would change the world, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we expect you, Lord God. We expect testimonies to come out of this place, out of this class. Lord, let testimonies come forth, Lord God, as you move and we recognize and move in your power. In Jesus' name, the power of God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.